I've gathered together three colleagues from the different departments of Radio Prague with one particular goal: to get the foreigners' perspective on Czech Christmas. What did they like about it? What surprised them about it? And what do they really think about carp? Before I begin, I should also say this is meant to be a friendly, positive discussion. We're not looking to criticise Czech Christmas in any way. We're all fans of Czech Christmas here, I should say, but we maybe had to get used to it. So, to kick us off, let's go around the room and introduce ourselves. So, firstly, on my left here, could you tell me, please, your name, your country of origin, and how many Czech Christmases do you think you have celebrated?
My name is Anaïs Rimbaud. I work for the French department of Radio Prague International. I'm also a translator of Czech. And I have spent or celebrated about 10 Czech Christmases, including, I would say, 8 or 9 of them with the Jewish family.
Interesting. Well, yeah, my name is Juan Mutoni. I work for the Spanish department of Radio Prague. And I spent, I think, 4 Christmas here. So, yeah, that's my experience. I'm getting to like it.
Mm-hmm. I'm Ferdinand. I work for the German department of Radio Prague International. And so far, I spent 1 Christmas in the Czech Republic, because before I always went to Germany to celebrate Christmas there.
So to kick us off with a sort of an initial topic that occurred to me, something that struck me as a bit odd to get to grips with, is actually the date of Czech Christmas, the 24th of December. Would I be right in thinking that in France, you celebrate it on the 25th? So how has that been for you? Has it been strange to celebrate it on the right or wrong day, depending on your perspective?
It has always been strange, and I have not gotten used to it. It is just weird for me not to be working on the 24th, or at least to be working, well, if working just for a few hours in the morning. I also never really managed to adapt to the fact that you have dinner at 5 or some, like, just very, very early, and that you get presents which are brought by little baby Jesus before he's actually born, because he's supposed to be born on the 25th. So that's that's something I never got used to. I can do with the rest, but this is just weird for me.
And what about the 25th itself? If you're here in Czechia, how do you spend the day? Do you have to create your own traditions?
I think most families just visit each other's and just, yeah, go around and visit whoever was not present at Christmas dinner, because my experience is that Christmas dinner is always, there are just a few family members. It's never as big as in my family in France, for example, where we always get together, I would say 30 people, like minimum. Here it's more like 5 to 10. And then on the 25th and the 26th, then you go for a walk. Visit grandpa, grandma, whoever's around.
Juan, what about Argentina? My knowledge of an Argentine Christmas is non-existent. So tell me, what's that been like?
I'd say it's kind of like in France, but it's very hot because we have like 30, 35 degrees there. So we have also like a swimming pool or something next to the table, so we can, you know, have some fun there after or before we have this Christmas dinner. For us, the important date is on the 24th. We have this Christmas dinner, and then on the 25th, we gather again for lunch, let's say. Yeah.
In Germany, like, you meet also like in the close family in the evening of the 24th, and then on the 25th and 26th, you maybe meet also the grandparents and so on, which is maybe similar as here in the Czech Republic. And so for me, it's not like something unusual that Christmas, the big Christmas Eve, is on the 24th of December.
Sure. And what then about the structure of the day? You've already introduced to us that it has quite an imbalanced structure, the Czech Christmas. It's all shifted towards the evening. How have you found that in general? I mean, say, you know, your Czech Christmas, was it a bit of nothing, 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 and then very intense towards the end of Christmas?
Actually, yes, because I'm more used to that we are in the morning, I don't know, like there's this Christmas tree we are putting like things on and so on, and then we're going to church, which I also didn't experience in Czech Republic so far on
Christmas
Eve. Even though people are probably, yes, surprisingly, even though people are maybe doing it, but I think since the Czechs are quite like non-Christian, that maybe not a lot of Czechs are going to the church on Christmas Eve, I don't know.
And Juan, have you experienced this also?
Maybe not about the structure, but I did find a little bit strange the way we celebrate here, as Anaïs said, that we start having dinner very early, at least for me. I think we just open the gifts, the presents, something like that. And then we, of course, we have to watch Popelka. That's impossible to miss. Even for a person who doesn't understand Czech, we have to watch it and laugh when they make the same jokes and all of that. So, yeah, that was the interesting part for me.
I have to press you on this exactly. Popelka, Cinderella, this classic fairy tale, specifically one version of this fairy tale that has to be watched. What was that like for you watching Popelka?
I was just happy that I was experiencing this new tradition with Czech people, of course. I was grateful for that. But it's also true that for an adult, it is kind of hard to understand why we're watching this movie. I think it's more like a tradition that you start doing when you're a child and you get used to it. But for a Latino guy who comes to the Czech Republic, suddenly you're watching Cinderella. It's like, I don't get it, but I'll respect you guys and I'll try to enjoy it with you all.
That's a very nice answer. I like that. But Ferda, for you, Popelka, nothing out of the ordinary, right?
No. I mean, I've grown up with this. I was watching Popelka like at least once a year, every winter, or maybe like twice or three times. My family also is going to the cinema now to see Popelka on the big screen because it was a like Eastern German, Czech or Slovak co-production. So it's quite big, especially in Eastern Germany nowadays. My friends from former Western Germany, actually, I have some that never watched Popelka, which is pretty crazy to me because it's so close to me somehow. I don't know. But I watched the Czech Popelka last year and it was super weird because there are like different things. Like the first thing, the actors, which I thought that would be German, were then speaking Czech. And I was like, what? Because there was, I think also one actor who was like Czech and German. And she maybe on her own did the dubbing. But also the songs in the film are interesting in the movie because in the German version, there's only the music. But in the Czech movie, there's also like Karel Gott, who's singing a text on the songs, which is not in the German version, which is interesting.
Understood, yes. And those songs have immediate resonance for a lot of Czechs as well. The special Czech in my life, I only need to play the beginning notes of Popelka and she's transported away. Anaïs, what about you watching Czech films?
I must admit that Popelka is not my favorite movie. Don't think I ever succumbed to the magic of any Czech fairy tales. As Juan was saying, I think if you haven't seen them as a child, you just don't really get it. I mean, you can be as open-minded as you want and willing to integrate, but this might be a bit too much. My experience of French Christmas was that we would always watch actually Mary Poppins and Alice in Wonderland. And I've shown those movies to a Czech partner who just reacted just as me watching Popelka. He just did not understand why he should be spending hours watching those movies that don't mean anything to him.
But nonetheless, the Czech collective cultural consciousness does come with some films for adults as well. Have you seen Pelišky, for example? I mean, I personally thoroughly enjoy it as a film, but it might, again, there might be some kind of cultural barriers to get over. What do you think?
I saw it quite a few times. I laugh a lot when I see it, but I think it's because the jokes are meant for adults. Of course, you might not understand it if it's your very first Czech Christmas, but it's also I find this movie interesting also as a way to enter Czech culture and humor, because this is very like you get to see lots of traditions. You get to see what a typical Christmas dinner can look like with people getting into arguments and stuff. Just a normal family.
I watched Pelišky last year on Christmas Eve, and it was actually weird for me because we are like watching Popelka and so on before Christmas Eve, and on Christmas Eve you would never turn on the TV actually, and you would never like watch 1.5 hours a movie. That's just not happening. So it was weird for me to sit in front of the TV and watching a movie on Christmas Eve. But actually the movie Pelišky, I like it, but I don't get why Czech people are watching it, because it's not so super about Christmas. No, it's like about Prague Spring and the history of the Czech Republic and Czechoslovakia. But there's this Christmas theme is there. They are like having this dinner on Christmas Eve or something. But yeah, that was weird to me.
Very valid points. Juan, anything to say about
that? I haven't watched it, but I will this Christmas. Yeah, okay. After listening to you guys. I will.
It's coming. Just so you know what people are talking about,
yeah, exactly.
If anything else, for your own benefit. Now, one question that occurred to me was about gifts in the Czech Republic. We've already mentioned this kind of intense experience of gift giving, but how have you found that in general? What kind of gifts might you expect from Czechs at Christmas?
Well, what surprised me was the amount of presents that were in this Christmas tree. It was the first time I saw so many presents. I didn't understand why. Then apparently what this family was doing is that they were not giving presents to each other during the year. But for Christmas, it was like, now we're having like the big show when we are giving all the presents that we couldn't do it, you know, during the rest of the year. And after this tradition of opening the gifts, you know, one after the other, like people take turns and they show like, oh, I got this t-shirt, oh, I got this whatever, and it takes quite some time, but it was fine. I mean, I'm not complaining. I got a lot of presents as well, so yeah, it was nice.
Okay, sounds like you did quite well out of that Christmas, but still, yes, not what you're used to. How about you?
Yeah, I'd like to react to the fact that it takes a long time. That's also my experience. I'm not used to that. In France, we all open our presents at the same time, and it's not like a ceremony or anything. But in the Czech Republic, I feel that it's like you're taking turns, and it takes forever. And there's always like one family member, usually the grumpy uncle, who will say, "Oh my God, if you're so slow, we're going to be here until next Christmas."
Yes. Presents for you, Ferda? What do you think?
Yes, I think I haven't experienced any big differences between like Czech and German Christmas gifts, maybe. But the biggest difference is maybe how you get the gifts, that in the Czech Republic, you enter the room and then there's like Ježíšek was there and the gifts are lying below the Christmas tree. Because like, yes, that was somehow like weird to me.
And to be clear, Ježíšek brings all the presents, so none of the adults get any credit in this system.
Like, yes,
you
exactly.
may have, you know, scrimped and saved money for years. No, everybody. Okay, Ježíšek gets all the credit. And does anybody know what this baby looks like in general?
I mean, I don't know, but he must be super strong,
right? Super strong.
Yeah, I thought this idea of a little ghost, you know, entering your house, it was a little bit scary, but for people apparently here, it's not like that. It's like they don't picture him. It's just like a funny thing that happens, and they ring this bell when he comes in to the house. But when I first thought about it, for me, it was a little bit scary to think about this creature, you know, whatever. They call it, of course, Ježíšek, but for me, it doesn't mean Jesus because it sounds different and it's Czech. Well, we don't have Ježíšek in Argentina. We have someone else, a fat guy, you know, wearing these winter coats. Like, yeah, that's what we have.
Who has presumably died due to heat exhaustion.
Exactly. It makes absolutely no sense, but we have that. That's what we have.
Right. I see. I'm very familiar with that. I'm much more comfortable with an old fat man entering my house at Christmas than with a small baby.
Exactly.
Has anybody witnessed these debates where people talk about how Ježíšek actually brings the presents? Because according to one household and one theory in one household, he has deputies, like angels, who do this for him. I don't know if you've been witness to these debates? Okay,
no.
That was just my experience then. Okay, fair enough. Now, moving on, I think we have to address the elephant in the room, or rather the fish in the room. We have to get round to the carp. But firstly, let's be clear whether the idea of eating fish is actually special for us or not. What about in Germany? Is there any parts of Germany where people eat fish?
Difficult question. I think yes. I think it's somehow like different where, in which like part of Germany the people are having like the Christmas dinner and so on. But my grandparents always had like fish salad or something. So somehow I was like used to this fish thing on Christmas Eve.
Okay, so not that strange for you.
That's also a bit strange for me. We just don't. I don't think anyone eats fish, but we do eat oysters. So, same.
Okay.
Yeah, water.
Yeah, sure. That sounds pretty nice. Sounds pretty fancy. Okay, yeah. Fair enough.
Wow. Yeah, we do have fish, but not for Christmas. For other religious dates, but not for Christmas.
Right, understood. Well, with that out of the way, it's not just any fish. That's the thing. It's carp. This fish that swims and lives through most of the year at the bottom of a muddy lake. and then you have to put it in a bathtub. And let's talk about this. First, the finished product. Do you think carp can be done well? Can it be served well at Christmas?
I think it can be tasty, especially if it's fried, because, you know, fat stuff is always tasty, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
No, not for me. No,
Juan is shaking his head quite firmly. No, really?
No. I think there is no way to make it. Maybe you can make this pâté that they're selling in cans, maybe. But definitely. I wouldn't recommend it. I wouldn't recommend it.
Okay, and how did you have it served to you? How was it prepared?
It was fried. Okay. Fried with... Also, I think they added some cheese to it, probably.
Ooh. Ooh.
But no, I'm sorry, guys, but I cannot defend carp. It's just something that shouldn't be happening. But whatever.
Okay, I think we have the headline of this piece there. I cannot defend carp. I think strong words. What do you think, Ferla?
I think it could work for me, but I also think that I never actually ate carp in my life, because last year when I had my first and only so far Czech Christmas, we had like salmon actually, because like somehow the family didn't like carp, but I think I would eat it. No, yes,
oh. Okay.
I would also prefer salmon or any fish from the ocean. It's tastier than fish from a pond.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess you've got to do with what nature gave you. Like no seaside, no ocean in the Czech Republic.
Other fish are available in the Czech Republic, but yes, I take your point. That's a good point. And in the Czech families where you've been spending these Christmases, have you found there is a bit of traditionalism versus, say, modernity, where people are saying it must be carp, it cannot be anything other than carp? Or have you been in families where there's actually, you know, rizek coming in, stuff that's not fish-based? Have you found that?
I've experienced both, okay. Traditional families and... more open-minded families, or families that just don't eat carp. Yeah,
I do think it is changing in the country at the moment. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, also what I experienced is that in this family I spent Christmas with, they were also cooking this version of vegetarian carp. So they added some seaweed to the paste they were cooking, and it tasted like fish, but it wasn't. And they had this kind of rizek of carp, but it was vegetarian. So it sounds confusing, but believe me, the taste was quite the same without the bones of carp. So that was big advantage.
In the family where I was last year, we had like salmon and rizek. So like there was something for everyone, which was nice to me. I had both, actually.
So everybody wins. Okay, yes. Fair enough. And this fish is traditionally accompanied, right, with potato salad. Which, again, that was a bit of a shock for me, because it looks nothing like a British potato salad. But how have you found that very simple dish of the two components, the fish and the potato salad? Do you not find that they contrast, the cold potato salad and the hot fish? I find that a bit strange.
It is a bit strange. It is a bit heavy, too. I mean, it's just not much vegetables, but we got used to that. Here in the country, I would say for me, like I heard you say using the word simple dish. A couple of years ago, my parents came to the Czech Republic for Christmas, and we had dinner with the Czech family. And so we had dinner at 5, and you know, eating the potato salad. And my mom saying to me in French, "Actually, it's not bad. No, this like super simple Christmas dinner." And my ex-mother-in-law saying, What did she say? I said, nothing. Oof, she had spent hours and hours, you know, cutting the potato salad and all the ingredients in super small pieces and rolling the carp. And with a lot of stress, I could not translate that.
Mm. Out of respect to my own mother-in-law, I would like to retract the word simple that I just used there, for example. Yeah. I have seen the process. I know it does take a long time. Fair enough. How do you find the combination of the two?
I think it's quite practical. It's good. You can prepare the salad before, then it stands there and you can like eat it later. I think it's great. And I think it's also quite common in Germany. So like it's nothing unusual to me.
I love Czech potato salad. I think it's fantastic. And even if there's a contrast between cold and hot, I'm a big fan. So I'll all for it. It's great.
Okay, very positive. Right, so it's very much a meal of two halves for you. There's the good stuff and the bad stuff. And have you found here, while enjoying a Czech Christmas, that you've brought some traditions from your home country, that you've introduced something new into Czech households at Christmas?
I think I've, well... traditions. Maybe not traditions, but I've baked or prepared chocolate truffles a couple times, and usually they have a lot of success. They're like little chocolate cocoa balls that are basically the size of a cukrovi, so you can even present them on the plate with all the Czech cukrovi. And yeah, usually people like them. I never try to bake the typical French cake because it's just too much work.
I like cooking, and yeah, only once I prepare this meat we have in Argentina for Christmas, which comes from Italian culture. It's called vitel tonné, and it's something that you eat. It's cold, so you know it comes. It goes well with the potato salad, I think. And at the beginning, when they saw that it was cold, they were doubting a little bit. But when they tried it, all good. So I was happy about this combination of cultures during one Christmas at least. So yeah, happy about it.
I didn't brought any traditions because I was like so much into like getting to know the Czech traditions and so on. So I was like not bringing anything from Germany. No. Mm-hmm.
But if you could, in future, if you do, what would you bring?
I would bring like Santa Claus, like this classical man, like also like actually fat man who would knock at the door in this like red and white costume, and you actually brought us the gifts when I was like until 8 years old, or I don't know. It was always the neighbor or somebody, and I liked this more than Ježíšek, I have to say.
But there's a danger of competition between the two. I mean, they each have their own jurisdictions. I mean, yeah, that's a big one. That's a big one to choose. Okay, and a final question, maybe a general question. Let's imagine that aliens land on Earth and they're thinking of celebrating a Christmas, right? But they ask you, should we celebrate a Czech Christmas in the Czech way? Would you recommend a Czech Christmas to them?
Yes, I would. It's different, so it's interesting.
Once in your life? Yeah, definitely.
Just once.
Well, at least.
Okay. But what would you specifically recommend to them?
Cukrovi.
Cukrovi, yes.
The Christmas cookies, yes. The best in the world. Just the best.
Excellent, excellent. No, how could I forget? I haven't even mentioned cukrovi as well, which is true. I mean, yeah, that is a highlight. And that's something that goes beyond just Christmas Day. There's kind of a cukrovi season. In my own household, this cukrovi factory is open at the moment. And, yes, it's the production line is working. Yes. What about you? Czech Christmas?
Czech Christmas, yes, yes, yes. I think I would recommend it. Yes, why not?
Why not? Okay, very good. So you've been converted, I think, to
yes.
Czech Christmas.
Yes, yes, yes.
And will you be celebrating a Czech Christmas this year?
Yes, I will celebrate it this year because now I'm switching always like 1 year in the Czech Republic and 1 year at home. So this year I'm going to be at home and I'm looking forward to pelišky and Střízek and potato salad and so on. So yes.
After 4 years, I'm going to be celebrating Christmas in Argentina, but I promise that I'll be baking this cukrovi, and also I'll prepare the potato salad, not the carp, but all the rest is coming with me to Argentina.
That's wonderful. So in the capital of Argentina, Buenos Aires, there's this little bit of Czechness. Which,
exactly.
See, yeah. I think that's beautiful.
I will be celebrating Christmas in the Czech Republic, but I don't think it will be very Czech because I will be celebrating with a French friend and another friend who is from Azerbaijan. So I think we will just make our own traditions.
Mm-hmm. On the 24th?
Yes, but at like 7, 8, 9-ish. Yeah, not too early.
Not too early. Yeah, you can set your own traditions. I think that's nice. Yeah, we have to bear that in mind. Well, I think that's all we have time for. I just want to say thank you so much to my three very willing guests for doing this. I hugely appreciate it. And if you are listening and you are Czech, I hope you learned something. I hope that was illuminating for the foreigner's perspective. And if you're not Czech and you celebrate a Czech Christmas, I hope you know that people are experiencing Czech Christmas out there with you. And on behalf of Radio Prague, I just want to say a Merry Christmas, Veselé Vánoce, and a Happy New Year.